Well, boys and girls and mums and dads, it's lovely to be with you this morning to share in this wonderful Children's Day service. And I have to say that the boys and girls did really, really well, wonderful. Some of the choruses they were singing were my favourites as well, and I was really tempted to join in, but I thought, don't want to spoil it, they're doing so well by themselves. And you know, there's not a nerve, there's not a fear, they just get up and take part. And things have changed so much since our day. The only people I saw nervous was the two aunties at the front and the superintendent. Everybody else, no problem. Queer change from my day. I can remember being a little boy and being at the front and taking part on Children's Day. Maybe some of you parents and grandparents are the same. And I was tremendously nervous. Nearly as nervous as I am this morning. But you know what? I had to do a poem on one occasion, and we used to go to Sandown Church, and it had a huge pulpit to start with to climb away up there, and then they put me on top of a chair on top of that big pulpit, and a bit of wonder I was nervous, and I had to do a poem, and there were two verses, and I was so uptight and anxious that I got the poem mixed up. It was a poem about David and Goliath, and I began in the verse 2, and then I finished in verse 1. So I had David cutting the head of Goliath with a sword before he hit him with a stone. But everybody was happy, even though I corrupted the scriptures in doing that story. But it's lovely to be here, wonderful to be part of this service, and I want you to listen really carefully. I have some things in this pocket, and in this pocket, and up here, and if you're looking the wrong way, you'll miss, and you'll not get to see what I have in my pockets and at the front. Now, I was really tempted today to do something on the Queen's anniversary. And I'm now so glad that I'm not doing that, because that would take away from maybe tonight's service. So there's no excuse for you not to be here tonight. Really tempted, because, you know, I really love the Queen. And it's hard to share this with you, but I'm going to let a cat out of the bag. For about 45 years, I have been collecting memorabilia to do with the Queen. And I would have probably, at this stage, hundreds and hundreds of pictures of the Queen. Now, you wouldn't think that by looking at me. Real royalists, not like this crowd over here, wouldn't bother their heads. And I have hundreds and hundreds of pictures of the Queen. And so much so that there are occasions when I would then give them away. I've actually given some away to people that I don't even know, and I just hand them the picture, beautiful little pictures that I would have of the Queen. In actual fact, somebody gave me one to add to my collection yesterday. I try to collect more than I give away, but sometimes it's impossible. And I thought I would bring it along and let you see it today. This is the latest one. Somebody gave it to me, so I'm going to try and hold this one, because you don't really want to give away things that somebody's been so kind to give you. And there it is there. That's the latest picture I have of the Queen. And I'm really going to do my best to hold on to this one and not get rid of it. So there you are. All the front row here going, what's he talking about? Okay, now let's get cracking. We want to read some scripture to you. We want to look at something very important today in God's Word. If you don't have a Bible, don't you worry. You just sit really well, boys and girls, and give me good attention, because you're sitting brilliantly. But for those of you in the adults who would like to look it up, it's Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I want you to read a couple of little verses near the tail end of this chapter. And it's just a remarkable scene, a beautiful scene of the Savior. And he's doing something that you wouldn't normally see the Savior doing. He's just sitting. He's just sitting. Normally, each day is full of activity, preaching, teaching, setting aside time to pray, doing the miracles. But here he's just sitting. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." We'll just end our reading there at the end of the chapter. We'll have a wee word of prayer. And so you boys and girls, you might know the drill. We have an A, B, C of prayer. We have A for our arms to be folded. Now, this can be very hard for some of the boys because they've got tremendous big muscles. Hard to get the arms folded. And then B for heads to be bowed. And C, eyes to be closed. And you little tiny ones, if you close your eyes really, really tight, you can actually see wee stars. So you try that, and let's just have a wee word of prayer and ask for God's help today. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we just thank thee for what all has gone on before this morning with the reciting of the verses and the singing of the choruses from the boys and girls. We thank thee for the truth that a little child shall lead them. And we pray you'll bless them and the Sunday school teachers and superintendent as well today. We thank thee, O Lord, that we have thy word before us. And we pray, O Lord, as we look at it, that you'll speak to our hearts as only thou canst do. Be near unto us. O Lord, I am in great need, and I call upon thee for the power of God to give me utterance and bring to my mind all that would have to be said. For we ask it in our Savior's wonderful name. Amen. That was really good. Excellent. Now today, boys and girls, we're going to look at this little portion in the Bible. And it says that the Lord Jesus was sitting over against the treasury. Now, the treasury, boys and girls, was a really big box beside the temple at the doorway, and people could put money in it to contribute to the work of God. And we're told that the Lord Jesus was just sitting there watching. He was people watching. Now, that's one of my favorite pastimes. You get to a certain age where you just like to sit a lot. And my wife and I, sometimes of an evening, we'll decide we'll go out in the car and we'll maybe treat ourselves, get a little ice cream, park up, and let people watch. Now, if you've ever seen me and my wife doing that, you're too late. We've already seen you. We have talked all about you. Look at the state of that. Look at that. Look at the way there. Look at that. Look at this. And we have spotted you and talked all about you. But the Savior in this passage, boys and girls, he's not sitting in any means by way of leisure. He's watching the people. As the Son of God, what we read here ties up beautifully with the Old Testament. Thy God seest me. You know, the Lord sees you every moment of every day. He sees you here today, and he's watching you. And just as God sees us, the Savior, the Son of God, he was watching, and he saw something that nobody else saw. It happened in a twinkling of an eye, in a split second. It happened in a way that tried to be secretive. Even our quick, secret actions, the Lord sees today. And a record is being made, and an account is being set, and you might have to give answer for it someday if you're not saved. Why did you do that? Why were you there? God has an account of what you do. And so the Savior is here, and he sees something, and he calls his disciples, and he rehearses it to them. You see, what had happened was this. A little old widow woman, her clothes wouldn't have been very nice, not like your beautiful clothes this morning. And she mightn't have had very good shoes on. And she came up alongside, and the crowds were coming, and she was heading purposely for this big box, the treasury. And she might have had a little purse or a little tiny bag. And she didn't want anybody to see. And she took out two little tiny coins. Caught mites. You've heard the old saying, not worth 2D. Well, these were pretty close to that. Two little tiny coins, not worth hardly anything. Quickly she dropped them in, and away she went to didn't want anybody to see. And you know what was in her little bag when she'd put in those two coins? If she turned it upside down, nothing would come out. She had nothing left. She gave absolutely everything she had. Mightn't have been much. She gave it to the Lord. And the Savior was impressed with this. And he called his disciples. And those men, they were impressed with the others, the rich and the wealthy, who were making maybe a whole show of what they were putting in. And the Lord said, never worry about those rich people. What they have put in is nothing. They have plenty left. They'll not miss out. But look at this little woman. She has given to the Lord her all. She has nothing left. Including myself, there's not one believer here has given their all to the Lord in this way. We're not bankrupt. We have plenty left. We hold back so often. But she had given the Lord her all. And today, boys and girls, I want to look at that. And I want to use a little tiny coin, the smallest coin in our currency, to try and explain why you also should give your all to the Lord. Mums and dads as well. Give your all to the Lord. And the smallest coin that we have in our currency today is the 1p piece. Now, I can remember a time when there was a 0.5p piece, but we'll not go into that. And I've got a little 1p piece. Look at me. I put mine in a little baggie. How sad am I? But boys and girls, this is a 1p piece. This is actually a very special 1p piece. Because as I came to tell you this story today, I wanted an original one. I wanted one of the first ones. I didn't have one. The furthest I could go back was 1978. That wasn't far enough back. You see, boys and girls, mums and dads, this little coin, it first came out on the 15th of February, 1971. And all these people were just teenagers over on this side. I'll have to pick these ones a little bit later on. You just watch yourselves. I'm coming for you. 15th of February, 1971, the very first of these little coins appeared. That's a very significant day, isn't it? The day after Valentine's Day, when you have all these poor fellas buying flowers and buying meals and buying jewelry, and they're almost penniless. That's all they had left, a few pennies. Very significant. And I didn't have a 1971 1p piece. And I phoned a man that I knew might have, my father-in-law. He collects everything. He had four of them. Four of them. So he very kindly gave me a 1p piece. Isn't that good of him, wasn't it? You can have that. And I got it all cleaned up, put it in this little baggie for you to see today. And then I decided to do something. I Googled it. And I couldn't believe it. These things are worth money, a lot of money. This is worth between £10 and £150, depending on the condition. So I'll just put it in the pocket here, and we'll say nothing to him. And doesn't matter, he's got three left anyway, so he's okay. But today, mums and dads, boys and girls, I want to look at this little coin. Now, to make it easy for everybody to see, except for the people who got the cheap seats at the back, you'll have to do better. We have brought with us a very large 1p piece. See the size of that one? Very big 1p piece. And this is a tremendous little coin. As I say, it's over 50 years old. And way back in the early days, they made these little coins out of solid copper. Because it has a weight and it's solid copper. And they discovered in the 1990s, whenever there was a huge boom in the value of coins and the value of metals like silver and gold and even things like copper, suddenly they discovered that these little coins, by the weight of them, they were worth 1.5p, but only worth 1p in the shops. So everybody was taking their 1p's down to the scrap merchants to make money. And so the Treasury had to stop that, and they only now make them copper-coated. This little coin, there really is no exact number of them in circulation. Nobody really knows. But they estimate that there's something like 1111 million of these in circulation, plus two or three down the back of our sofa. Quite a lot of them. They're all there. But these little coins, interestingly, have a limit. There's a thing called legal tender. And that's a term that's used to regulate money. And these little coins have a legal limit. And you can go into a shop and you can buy things with your 1p pieces, but there's a legal limit of 20 pence. So in other words, if you go into a shop and you see something at 20p, you can hand out over the counter 21p pieces and the shopkeeper can't say a word about it. But if you see something in the shop at £1.99 and try to hand over 199 1p pieces, the shopkeeper can say, no, the limit's 20p. But if the shopkeeper's down here, or anything like the shopkeeper's down my way, they'll take the whole lot off your arm, leg, whatever they can get. So don't worry about that too much. Just a little interesting thought. But this little coin, as I say, has been on the go for a very long time. On the back, there's a picture of the Queen. That side has changed 4 times in all the years because as the Queen gets a little bit older, they put something up a little bit more appropriate, and it's changed 4 times. On this side, there's a beautiful design. You probably all recognize that as you've been counting your pennies, and you would know what that little design is in your mind. You've seen it many times. It was designed by a man by the name of Christopher Ironside. His artwork was chosen, and it was put on the back of the 1p piece. And it has only changed in the last lot of years. It was there for 37 years, and it's just changed in the last decade or so. But I want to look at this design, boys and girls, and I want to look at it very carefully because I want you to understand what it means and how important it is to give your all to the Lord. And we're going to use words beginning with the letter C, and there are lots of them, and I want you to remember them all. So you can go and tell the next person. And there's loads of things on here, and they all begin with the letter C. And the first one, did you notice? Look at this. Down this side and down this side, there are 2 very big chains. Do you see those big chains down both sides of the 1p piece? And those chains, boys and girls, remind me of the effect that sin has upon our lives. You see, there is no freedom with sin. There's no liberty. There's no extended, I'll do what I want. Oh, you might feel and get that impression for a short time. But sin is like having chains wrapped about you. The old devil's very subtle. In the early days, he'll wrap those chains around you loosely, and those chains will be light. And you will feel a certain amount of freedom. But as you get older and you get more entangled in sin, those chains will get tighter and tighter and tighter and heavier and heavier. And suddenly, you'll realize out of the blue, you're a slave to your sin. You can't control the language. You can't control the lies. You can't control the temper. Can't control the thoughts and the desires. And you're a slave. Chains. But when I read this precious book, I read of a Savior, an all-powerful Savior who can break every chain and set the prisoner free. And I believe this is what has happened to this little lady. I believe that she's a godly woman. How do I come to that conclusion? Well, you see, the ungodly would never dream of giving their all to God. And this little woman had done that. As she had been freed from her sin and she loved the Lord and she gave him her all. Do you give the Lord your all today? Secondly, let's move on very quickly. You'll notice in the middle here, there's a square shape. Can you see that square shape there in the middle? Yeah? Okay, at the front. There's that square shape. Looks like a potato waffle. It's making me hungry. I could do with something nice to eat. Have you any sweets? No? No sweets? Okay. It's not a potato waffle, but it's another word beginning with C. Boys and girls, this is what's known as a closed gate. It's a closed gate. This is a very special gate. You'll not get a gate like this at the entrance of the church. You'll not get a gate like this down at the back of your house where the backyard is. You'll not even get a gate like this at your school or the play park. You'll only ever see a gate like this at a castle. Yes, up at the Reverend Baker's house. Up at a castle. You'll only ever see it at a castle. It has a very special name. It's called a portcullis. A very heavy, strong gate. Very heavy wood. Big iron bits in it. It's nearly, virtually impenetrable. And this gate, when the enemy's seen, is slammed down closed. It's a closed gate. And can I tell you today, this gate, this barrier, reminds me of sin. You see, whenever you live in sin, there's a barrier between you and God. You are closed out. In fact, if you read your Bible carefully, you'll discover that whenever you live in sin, born in sin, continue in sin, the Bible says that you are the enemy of God. You're God's enemy. And the gate is closed. The barrier's up. Your sin is blocking you out from God, closing you out from every blessing, the joy of salvation. But you know, in a moment of time, in an instant, calling upon Him for forgiveness, that gate will be lifted and opened. It'll not be a closed gate anymore. And I believe this is the case with this little woman. She had trusted in the Lord, and she had given her all to Him, and she was in close communion with her God. Day by day. Let's move on very quickly. Look at this very carefully, mums and dads, boys and girls. This is a circular shape, isn't it? You were singing earlier on about God's love is like a circle, and I was so happy, and I thought, that just ties in beautifully. This little coin's circular, isn't it? It's not square, it's not triangular. It's circular. I love circular things. I love getting up in the morning, seeing a big yellow circle ball up in the air. It's the sun. I love seeing the sun. Whenever I was wee, I loved to see the sun because you got out on your bike, got out to play football. Not so keen now. You get out to do the gardening and do the weeding. But I love circular things. I love it when it's like this. It's a big plate of dinner. That's even better. Wonderful. Pizza. And then I think of this world. It's circular, isn't it? Think of that little chorus you were singing. I think of one of the verses that one of the girls, I think it was, quoted about this world, a wonderful place. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and that's me, believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that this little woman knew what it was to be forgiven. She believed in God. She gave Him her all. This little woman was on her way to heaven. Saved. Let's move on very quickly. What else have we got? Oh, look there. Do you see there, just above the potato waffle? There's a sort of a hat thing. Do you see that there? Well, that's a crown. You see the crown there, just above the... Yeah. Now, your school teacher doesn't wear a crown. Neither does the lollipop lady, the dinner lady, or the policeman. Your mummy and daddy doesn't wear a crown, unless there's any royalty in today. Who wears the crown? Pardon? The queen. Well done. Very good over here. Or the king. And you know, whenever I see this word beginning with C, the crown, I think of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm not going to steal your minister's thunder tonight, but I want to simply touch on this, that the Savior is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from His very birth until His very death, that fact was known. In fact, King Herod, out of spite, out of desire not to lose his, what he thought his own throne was, he wanted to see the king put to death. And the little babes in Bethlehem, the little boys put to death. The king had come. Think of the Savior's crucifixion. You know, there are many things we could touch on in the Savior's crucifixion, but His kingship, read it for yourself, His kingship was attacked more than any other part. They put on the crown of thorns. They put on that purple robe upon His back that had been torn for you and for me. They gave Him that reed in His hand, and they bowed the knee and they mocked Him, laughing at the fact that they did not consider Him as the king at all. But He is the king. King of kings and Lord of lords. And if he's not your king today, one day you will bow the knee. This little lady had already bowed the knee. She gave him her all. Oh, she was a subject of the king. And she was on her way to the kingdom of heaven. I wonder, what about you today? We're nearly done. Let's keep going. One up there at the top. See that wee tiny thing at the top? Wee tiny, tiny thing on top of the crown. Very little, very small, isn't it? That's a cross. See that little cross up there? Ever so small. You know, that reminds us again of the Savior and his death. But you know, as it is on the coin, people think very little of the cross. It's a very little thing to them. It's insignificant and perhaps means nothing. They've never considered it. But have you considered what God did for you? God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I wonder, does the cross mean little or much to you? We're nearly done. One last thing here at the bottom. It's a number one. And boys and girls, we think today as we close of Christ, our Savior. The little chorus goes, one way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way. There's no other way. I am the truth. There's no lie in this man's mouth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Abundant on earth, eternal for those who trust in him. And I wonder today, as we come to a close, as we consider this little coin, as we consider these words, as we think of this little woman who gave her all to the Lord. She was a lovely, godly lady. I wonder, what about you today? Will you come to the Savior? Will you make him your own? Have you been freed from the chains and the barrier between you and God, your sin and wickedness? You can come and call upon him, and he will no wise cast out. Trust that the Lord will bless these words to your heart today. And I'm just going to invite your minister back up to close the meeting and to finish off the final parts of the service today.